And this is Weekday on Public Radio 90 WNMU. I'm Hans Ahlstrom. We're going to start off today's program with a couple of guests from the Bomir UP Heritage Center. Director Dan Truckee is with us, as well as filmmaker Michael Lokanen, here to talk about an event coming our way this evening here on campus. Good afternoon, gentlemen.
Hey.
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
Michael, you've been making films for a long time, and folks are going to get a chance to see your very first two films, Tradition Bearers and Finnish American Lives, as part of the Bomir's film series. What is bringing these out now?
Dan Truckee is bringing them out. Yeah.
Good job, Dan.
Go ahead and answer that one, Dan.
Yeah, a reporter asked me that yesterday, why we were doing this. And mm-hmm. But part of it is that we have this exhibit on immigration history at the Bomir Center right now. It actually is up through next Saturday. And so we wanted to have some films this fall dealing with some of the cultures of the UP. And what better way to do that than to show two of Michael's films, which were really, at the time they were made, no one had ever really done anything like them before about the Upper Peninsula. No one had ever done a film, a documentary looking at a culture of the Upper Peninsula. Mm-hmm. And so I think that for me, it was like, you know, this is a perfect opportunity. It's also the 35th anniversary of Tradition Bearers coming out. So that seemed like a good time to show it again. And I think it's, I saw these when I was a kid in high school. I had a teacher who showed them to us. So for me, it's an opportunity to, maybe show them to another generation, get them interested. And I think also, too, is that, these were 35, 36 years ago. These came out, shot some maybe even further back than that. And a lot has changed since then in the Finnish culture of the Upper Peninsula. So Michael could talk about that, definitely.
I was going to ask if you could tell us a little bit about both films, Michael.
Yeah. The first film, Finnish American Lives, was released in 1982. It took me a long time to make it, partly because I didn't know what I was doing. But I did a lot of research to try to find some immigrants. Mm-hmm. And in the process, I found a lot of them, then I had to make the choices. And I found this family out in Ironwood, the Vuorenma family. Vuorenma means mountain land. And they had an elderly grandfather in his 90s. I think he was 92 or so at the time. A more recent Finnish immigrant, Irene, the daughter-in-law, and an American-born son, Harold. And they had three grandchildren there. And so all three generations were present at the farm. The grandfather, his wife died sometime prior to our filming, and he could dream that she was calling him, so he had one foot in the grave. Mm-hmm. And the barn was about ready to fall. Dairy farming has collapsed throughout the upper Midwest, not just the UP. And the grandchildren were getting restless. Mm-hmm. They wanted to get out of there, have some excitement. And so everything was happening right in that family. And so I made the film centered around that family. And it turned out to be a good one. I mean, I didn't plan on becoming a filmmaker, but I entered it at the American Film Festival, which is a real competitive film festival,
right.
Not a celebratory film festival like we have everywhere now.
Yeah.
And the most competitive in the United States, and I got a blue ribbon, almost got the first prize. So I got the second prize, so suddenly I became an award-winning filmmaker. And I didn't plan on it, I was, back then I was a statistical sociologist. But I always had this cultural anthropological edge. I minored in cultural anthropology in graduate school, and a lot of my thinking was along the lines of cultural sociology, something that intersects with oral history, folklore, social psychology, as well as macro societal forces. And so I made the film, and while I was making that film, I simultaneously shot another film because I had this film crew from Minneapolis. And that film was Tradition Bearers, where found four folk artists, two immigrants and two American-born artists, Katri Sari, a weaver from Minnesota, and also from very remote Minnesota, John Toivonen, a woodcarver, homesteader woodcarver. Mm-hmm. He had a homestead in the middle of the, believe it or not, Finland State Forest in Minnesota, okay, up by, was it Twin Harbors?
Two Harbors,
yeah. And then to Juper, a second generation Finns, Art Moilanen, a lumberjack accordionist, and someone that I call a folk author, Jingo Vitala Vashan, who wrote basically folk tales, mm-hmm, and published them. And she was very highly regarded by the second generation Finnish Americans. Like Carl Palenpaa, he was a second generation Finnish American.
Right.
So I came out with two films, like Boom Boom, and both won awards, and they still sell.
Yeah.
First we sold them as 16 millimeter prints, then these big old fat cassettes, betas and VHSs, and now DVDs. And so they've sold for 36 years, and the proceeds from that go to Up North Films, a nonprofit office at the university, and I've been able to finance about 11 other documentaries using that as seed money.
Mm-hmm.
So the Finns supported the Native Americans,
yeah,
mining communities, and loggers, woodsmen, the people featured in my other films.
Okay.
So that's the story.
That's a great start, yeah. Just curious, you seem to still be very connected to these people you're talking about. Are you connected? Do you keep in touch with them or their families or anything?
No.
No? Okay.
A little bit.
Yeah.
But I just don't get out. That's when I retired, I was going to go visit all these people. I talk to them periodically, and if, yeah, I'm in the area, I'll visit. But I just don't have a chance to regularly visit. And part of that is I've gone on to different subjects. So mm-hmm, for about, I think, 5 or 6 years, I made films about the Anishinaabe, the Ojibwe in this area.
Right.
And that sort of pulled me into a whole another milieu. Mm-hmm. And but I'm working on my last documentary, I think. I've said that before. But this one is about a small Finnish-American community in Bexar County, mm-hmm, named Pelkey, of all things.
Right.
There used to be a joke that, what has 32 Finns and is yellow and black? And it was the Pelkey school bus. It was over 90% Finnish-American,
yeah,
when I studied it in the early 1970s to produce my doctoral dissertation. And there were about a handful of immigrants, I think three people from Finland only spoke Finnish alive at the time. And there were a lot of second generation, that is American-born Finns, and of course their third generation kids. And now, almost 40 years later, there are three of the second generation people still alive. All the immigrants, of course, are long gone.
Right.
But three of those people alive. So I'm making documentary about what happened. Tentative title is 100 Years of Finnishness in the North Woods. It's no longer a Finnish American community.
Right.
It's something else.
Yeah. It's changed. So the films are part of the presentation tonight. Will there be, you know, will you be speaking to the crowd, talking a little bit about the movies, or are they just being screened? Tell us a little bit about the event itself.
Yeah, Michael and I will introduce the films, or I'll introduce Michael and he'll introduce the films. We'll show them back to back, and then we'll open it up to questions to the audience or just comments. So it's going to be pretty informal, but you know, they're both wonderful movies, and I think that people who haven't seen them will really enjoy them and get a lot out of it. I think that it's, for me, it's like going back in time when I, mm-hmm, watch these, because I grew up right near where Finnish American Lives was shot, and didn't really know the family, but, you know, I went to a different high school, but we knew the girls who were in it, and, okay. you know, we knew who they were. And so for us, it was like, wow, these are people we know.
Yeah.
And also being Finnish, it's like, wow, someone made a movie about being Finnish,
yeah.
you know, in America and in the UP. And so it really was a cool feeling. I think for a lot of people who haven't seen these, I think it'll give them a real feel for what the UP was like at that time and what the culture was like. And tradition bearers as well, even though some of it takes place in Minnesota, but that's okay.
Yeah.
All right with that. It'd be great to just hear people's comments and mm-hmm. discussion and questions. But Michael will introduce them.
And now, personally, for you, having seen them when you were younger, how's the perspective for you changed? You know, that's 30-some years ago. They were made. You were much younger. You saw things one way. Now you see the films. Do you see something you didn't see before? Or do you see something like you say, those times are changing? How does it change?
Well, then it was really more, I was thinking about it from the context of the place that I was, but now... You know, having studied, you know, immigration and studying mm-hmm. Finnish culture and just the Upper Peninsula, you know, I have a more of an academic perspective on what this all means and who these people were and their backgrounds and also what's happened in the last 35 years or more. I think what is, you could say it's sad, but it's just a reality is a lot of these people, well, all the people in who are featured in Tradition Bearers are gone.
Yes.
And the people, many of the people who were in Finnish American Lives, the older people, they're all gone. Mm-hmm. I think that's the thing, is that time passes, you know, and mm-hmm. the culture changes, and yet we hold on to stuff, too. I think what would be interesting is to see, in particular, how the daughters in Finnish American Lives, what they're like today, you know, have they held on to some of their Finnish background and the son also, you know, what have they held on to? Mm-hmm. 'Cause they're, you know, they probably have kids who are now adults themselves. So, you know, it's an interesting thought. You know, you should, your last film should be revisiting Finnish American Lives.
I've actually thought of that.
Yeah.
One thing that's, interesting. There's a Marquette Mining Journal reporter talked to me yesterday. Apparently, they're running a story about the screenings tonight. Or is her name Corey Brown? Mm-hmm. And she said, "Your film, Finnish American Lives, was the first documentary made in the UP, wasn't it?" And I had never thought about that before. I had to stop and think.
Oh. Is it?
And I think it was.
No kidding.
You know, from I'm a probably wrong.
Not a filmmaker.
I don't know. You know,
I think it was. So I had to sort of think about that, and that told me how old I was. But also, she said she was in high school in Ishpeming, I think it was, and she had seen her teacher wanted his students to see my film Good Man in the Woods, mm-hmm. which was really a popular film up here, and. She saw that and thought it was great, so she actually knew who I was, and here she's a young person.
Yeah.
But I did. I taught for 40 years here at the university, approximately. And I showed the films in my intro classes year after year, so literally thousands of students had seen the film, and I lectured on about them. So they didn't just see a film, they actually learned some concepts related to the film. And other people have shown the films in their classes too. Mm-hmm. I know John Sari used to show them in his class, and you probably have shown them.
I have. My folklore class, I showed them, you know, two or three of them, if not more, because they were so essential to understanding, you know, both not just the Finnish culture, but also the Native American culture and just the woods culture mm-hmm. of the UP. So they've been really helpful in those courses in helping people understand, you know, when you're talking about the folk culture of the UP, that's what those films are about. And right. they're a wonderful document of that. So.
One story I remember was really funny at the time. A lot of people from Flint and Detroit come up here and hunt, and maybe they're from the UP and living down in those metro areas. And this guy from Flint called and said, hey, we have to buy one of those VHS tapes of Good Man in the Woods. I said, okay. He said, yeah, we've had it, and we've made so many copies out of it, it fell apart. And, of course, that's illegal, but I was happy to hear it. You know, I mean, that film was really popular.
Yeah. Yeah.
It had a theatrical run in Ishpeming at what was then, I don't know if it's still there, the Butler Theater, mm-hmm. for about 2.5 months or so.
Okay.
Wow.
And actually in the theater, but yeah. That was a real film, 16 millimeter.
Right.
My first films were real 16 millimeter films.
Okay. Yeah. Well, it seems to me that tonight you guys might actually, you're presenting something, but I'm guessing you're going to run into people who want to talk to you afterwards about, oh, I remember this, or I knew that guy, or I remember that from when I was a kid. Do these types of presentations bring out that kind of response from?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. Like last month we showed one about the co-ops, mm-hmm. in Bruce Crossing, and it really brought, there were people there who grew up in that environment or grew up in co-ops, and so it really created a nice discussion about their own family experiences, and I know with Michael's films it definitely does that for people. Because, you know, like a lot of us, we grew up here and grew up in this culture, we knew these people.
Mm-hmm.
Not exactly the same exact people, but we knew these kinds of people. You know, Good Man in the Woods, I mean, I grew up in a town that was full of those guys. You know, in fact, a few of them were in the movie. So, you know, you know, it brings back those memories. And I think that's the thing, is that it is, Michael documented in a way some, I would say, dying aspects of UP culture.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they're still there, but there are aspects of it, especially the characters, the individuals that are kind of, you don't find them like you once did,
yeah.
You know, and the UP was just full of characters. Every town had a slew of these people who you couldn't understand what they were saying, who were antisocial, they didn't like other human beings very much. You know, they preferred to be out in the woods or in the fields. And but also hardworking, determined people who, you know, tough as nails,
yeah.
not afraid to, you know, roll up their sleeves, independent to the core. I mean, the quintessential Uper personalities that these, what those people were. And not that they don't exist, but not like they did once. And so when I watch them, it just brings back those memories of those old timers I knew as a kid,
yeah.
and family members who are all gone now.
Yeah. This sounds like also a wonderful night for folks who are not native to the UP, didn't grow up around it.
Oh, absolutely.
Sort of to get the little bit of root understanding of some of the characters they run into today. Where did they come from? Do you get folks who come out to the shows like that who aren't, you know, their family history is totally different, but this is...
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. People, yeah, we get a lot of people who are visiting or who moved here who want to understand the UP better. And I think that, you know, like with the film series or the film festival next week, you know, you get a lot of people who enjoy it because it's a great way to understand, you know, what the UP is all about, especially if they've moved here. And but I think a lot of people move here because they like what it's all about, you know, and I think people visit here for the same reason. So it's a great opportunity for them to, you know, appreciate it on a different level.
All right.
You know, if their only knowledge of the UP is Escanaba and the Moonlight, you know, then films like this or the Fresh Coast are a nice alternative. Not that that's a bad thing. I know there's people who don't like that movie, but I think it's good to show a different alternative.
Yeah, widen the perspective.
Yeah.
Okay.
One thing about that title, Good Man in the Woods, that was a magical title. I mean, it's like a Hemingway title.
Yeah.
The Sun Also Rises,
yes.
Good Man in the Woods. And I had heard that as a child.
Mm-hmm.
it was sort of the highest compliment you could give to a man in the North Woods. Because if you're out there and something bad happens, you better have someone who's good around you. And that means extremely multi-skilled, everything from triage to fixing a skidder or piece of equipment. And that idea of proximity to the woods is, I'm thinking about it a lot now in my current film. Of course, Finnish Americans worked in the mines and lived in the mining towns of the UP, both in the copper country and here on the Iron Range. But there are many of these little communities out in the woods. They're farming and logging communities. And these people lived adjacent to the wild. The forest surrounded them. Yeah. And we often say 88% of the UP is forested. Well, it's a lot more when you go to the western UP, because you've got these big Ottawa National Forests and these huge tracts of forest owned by logging companies. It's probably 95-96% forested when you go to the western UP, especially the Keweenaw. And there's something about the psyche of people who are born next to the woods. They're in the woods, they're out of the woods. And there's always something mystical and magical about the woods. You know, Native Americans and Aboriginal peoples all around the world have gone into the forest, into the jungle, into the mountains on vision quests to sort of find the essence of their soul, as it were. And there's still that magic, even for people who don't have those animistic religious beliefs. There's something about the dark woods, the deep woods, especially if you're working in a field alongside the woods. The sun hits those trees that are immediately adjacent to the field, and there's just this explosion of leaves, and you can't see in there, but something can be looking at you.
Yeah.
And I've had that feeling before. I mean, I've been in the UP for a long time, and even though I'm from Detroit, I spent my summers in the UP in a remote farm. And, you know, bear would just walk out and look at you. You know, we didn't have wolves then. Heard a couple of them, we thought. But you could be walking anywhere, and a deer would explode out of the forest, and a bear was chasing it, or a bobcat. And so you knew you were next to the wild all the time. And that does something to the psyche of not only Finnish Americans, but Upers. We're getting away from it, of course, as fewer people work on farms or work in the woods. So the logging industry is rather completely mechanized, like the mining industry. It seems as though capitalism is in the business of eliminating jobs in the North Woods, whether they're mining or logging or dairy farming. And these occupations don't exist anymore, so people are no longer living in close proximity. Their recreation may take them out there. They hike, they mountain bike, they ski, they hunt. But they're not just living on a daily basis next to the wild. And something's lost there. I can't quite pinpoint it, but I remember having that feeling as a child, and my uncle had it too. I remember my uncle's an incredible woodsman. And I remember walking down a two-track that was growing in, and there's a wall of cedar trees on our left-hand side. We were walking down toward the lake in a place called Jacobsville. And all of a sudden he stopped, and he smelled something. And he felt the presence of an animal right next to him. And he said his hair stood up. And of course, I was just a little kid chewing bubblegum. He scared the crap out of me. And a bear exploded out of the cedar trees. But he knew it was there. And it wasn't a dump bear that, you know, smelled for processed foods and was stinking. And that sort of feeling stayed with me. And I'm trying to capture that on film, and I can do it a little bit with some spectacular drone footage that we have. But I don't quite have it nailed down. But it's closely related to that theme, Good Man in the Woods.
Okay.
But if I figure it out, I'll tell you sometime.
Sounds good.
We'll I don't quite have it. Yeah.
Good. We've been talking to filmmaker Michael Lokanen and the director of the Bomir UP Heritage Center, Dan Truckee. Tonight's films are Tradition Bearers and Finnish American Lives. The event is at 7:30 in NMU's Jamrich Hall, room 1100. And, well, for more information, call 227-1219. Gentlemen, thanks so much for stopping in today.
Thank you.
Thank you, Hans.
This is Weekday on Public Radio 90, WNMU.